Wellness in Recovery on City of Angels Recovery Radio. We're here with Tom Osher, who is the hugging guru of Bucks County and Eastern Pennsylvania. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Allison. It's good to be here, and I look forward to our conversation.
Yep, me too. Me too. Hugging is so big in the recovery community. When we see each other at meetings, at events, kind of anywhere, the first thing we do is give each other a hug. So The recovery community is a big believer in hugging.
Absolutely. I have noticed that, and I really do think that it's one of the things that, again, can help very much in that type of situation. And I think that we're all looking for a loving community. And the best loving communities that I know are also big on hugging.
Mm-hmm. And you actually do hugging workshops.
Oh, yes. Well, it wasn't always, involved in workshops. My whole life, actually, I've gotten wonderful feedback on my hugs. So it was something that I always, enjoyed and believed in and, was given the right kind of feedback that I was good at it. Mm-hmm. But it really became almost a path in and of itself when I met one of the most important people in my life. I have been, since the 1970s, a follower of a particular spiritual channeling called the Messages from Michael Material, also called the Michael Teaching or the Michael Material. It's not the Archangel Michael. It's rather a sort of an oversoul, a reunited person. The Messages from Michael Material is about the entire reincarnational cycle and the various stages in it and, how one puts together a life, to learn what one wants to learn and to face whatever karma one has, come up with from past lives. And the most important character in the Michael Material is someone called your essence twin. Now, essence twin sounds a little bit like romantic soulmate, but isn't quite, really. It's not eternal romance. Your essence twin is someone that you pair off with at the beginning of the reincarnational cycle, and you agree to be every type of role or any type of situation one can be to another human being. So this person will not just be your lover, but they're going to be your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle. You name it, you guys are going to be that role to each other. So it's a lot. It's not quite what people think of as a romantic soulmate, although I got to say, when I, first read about it, I mean, I was, thinking a little bit on that line, and in the course of getting involved with the material, I eventually asked all that is to meet my essence twin. Mm-hmm. Now, although I may have had romantic soulmate in mind, what I really did get was this person who has been all kinds of roles to me. I had connected with a friend of theirs first at a, I was doing group meditation with a group called Prana on South Street with Ruth Hoskins, and they had a Valentine's Day party right around this time of year at Group Motion Studios. And I met a woman who I connected with, and it was interesting. I had an intuition when I met her that she was going to connect me with my karmic group. that I don't think I had met up at, until that point. I mean, I'm kind of a very independent, artistic, semi-bohemian character, but those people were not in my life. I thought, yeah, well, and they led me to a woman named Delaine Lipka, who owned a spiritual retreat center in New Jersey called Mount Eden. And as soon as we connected from the first hug, we could tell that we had known each other before. And in her own group, she was known as, you know, a big hugger. And as a matter of fact, as soon as I did, I mean, she was one of the world champion huggers, as a matter of fact. Are you familiar with the Indian woman, the Indian guru, Amma, also known as Amaji?
Yeah.
Well, this woman was the Yiddish mama, Amma. And when we hugged, it wasn't sexual, but it was tantric as all get out. It was the most amazing natural high either one of us had experienced up to that point. It became a central part of our path, both with each other and with other people. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, most of the people who were associated with Mount Eden were known. You could tell a Mount Eden person by their hugs.
So what
they
what
were
was
the best.
A hug like that like? I mean, you felt loved? Was it a long hug? Were you looking in their eyes? What made a Mount Eden hug so special?
Okay, well, a Mount Eden hug actually was more known for its full-bodied, full-hearted, almost a bear hug.
Okay.
And it wasn't quite a bear hug in terms of it wasn't intrusive, but it was powerful. You know what I'm saying? And and in our particular cases, they were long hugs. I mean, matter of fact, we would talk about hugathons or marathon hugging sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And during these, we would totally lose track of our individuality. In the Michael system, they talk about essence contact. And I think what they're talking about in essence contact is when you lose track of your individuality, you lose track of your ego, you just have it, your mind is kind of blown away. And you're one. It's the unitative experience is essence contact. Essence contact in the Michael material is known as the highest work you can do on the earth plane. And we didn't mind. We didn't mind at all because we were in a very high level of ecstasy but a very spiritual, mystic kind of ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just lose every layers that you didn't even know you were holding on to in terms of, you know, kind of armor that we have during everyday life. All of that would fall away totally with each other. And again, was just the most pleasurable and spiritual, you know, high that we could achieve. So we did seek each other out, even though she was married and had a husband who frequently threatened my life. Still,
because of
the hugs, were worth it. So, in some ways, I may have even put my life on the line These hugs. And it was a wonderful, unconditional relationship. The Greeks talk about at least three different forms of love. Eros, which is erotic love, sexual love. Agape, which is complete spiritual, unconditional love. And Philis, which is brotherly love, you know, like Philadelphia is city of brotherly. Philis is you know, brotherly love city.
Mm-hmm.
But what we experienced, I got to say, was pure agape. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that this can be, you know, had even by anyone. I think that we probably have a minimum daily requirement. And most people, unless you're in some kind of special relationship or belong to a hugging community, you don't get anywhere near your daily requirements.
Mm-hmm. So how long would a hug last?
Well, it would depend. With strangers, with new acquaintances, the hugs would last, you know, maybe a minute at the longest.
Okay, so not like a half an hour. This is
right. Yeah. Well, I got to say, with us though, with me and my essence twin, the session could definitely last a half hour, if not longer.
Okay.
Each individual hug probably wasn't quite an. we would call the hug itself is the in stroke. And then we would kind of get to a point where, you know, it just, we'd reached us sufficiently and you had to break it and have what we call the outstroke. And just would kind of collapse away from each other for a little bit until we were ready to dive in again.
Mm-hmm.
And but we would, and we would have extensive hug sessions, and they were something I terribly miss. She passed a couple years ago, well, about a year and a half ago, and that's what I missed the most. In some ways, it's very interesting. We were very much in contact, and you know, in spiritual rapport. And we still are.
Mm-hmm.
I can still really have contact with her. It's just not, doesn't include the physical contact and kind of those high levels of ecstasy that we achieve. Mm-hmm. To get to those high levels of ecstasy we achieved, I now give, we were talking about the hug workshops. And in the hug workshops, you know, I can get back there. And matter of fact, by using my essence twin and I's relationship as a model, I try to introduce people to that and encourage them. And again, in each, my criterion for success in a hug workshop is that everyone in the workshop should achieve what I call hug intoxication. And
okay.
If everybody has achieved hug intoxication, including me, you know, it's a successful workshop. And again, and it's just, it feels wonderful and it's good for you. And I think it's good on every level.
Mm-hmm. So how would you coach someone new to hugging? How would you get them to that high level of hugging?
Well, we have sort of exercises that we would do first. For example, one of the things that we do in the workshop would be to wander around the group and embrace each individual in the group with your eyes first, okay? Mm-hmm. Not even involving physical touch yet. But by gazing into each other's eyes and making contact that way, one establishes a feeling of rapport and affection and openness to experience. And in the next one, I would, you know, we would encourage people to actually hug and to really perceive what's going on. Something that would happen with my essence twin and I was we had what I called hug psychometry. Now, psychometry, do you know what psychometry is?
Not in relation to hugs.
Okay, well, in relation to psychic phenomenon, psychometry is if you somebody gives you an object and you hold it, and you can say you can tell people about you know the object and the owner of the object by getting in by this kind of rapport with the object.
Mm-hmm.
But when we would hug, we could tell not only, you know, lots about each other, but any individual besides that we would hug, we could, you know, again, you can really tell where they're at in terms of openness, willingness to exchange energies. Mm-hmm. And what we do in the workshops is we encourage people to open to this, and we would have exercises where one would be giving energy and the other would be receiving energy, and then we would switch it. And with my essence twin, we would play Can You Top This?
Uh-huh.
And we would be like, you ever see a cartoon with wizards having some kind of battle with magic?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we would be doing that, but with love. We would call
okay.
it even love jousting sometimes. And we would get involved in passing that energy back and forth and kind of kicking it up a notch each time. Until, you know, again, we would be, totally blissed out. We would be putting out enormous amounts of the internal opiates, for example. We called ourselves endorphins in terms of we were fiends for endorphins that would just, you know, we would be totally flooded with them. You know, in these experiences. And when they take it into the laboratory, they measure oxytocin, which is, you know, sort of the love hormone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's when it goes off the charts, is when you get involved in, you know, hugging.
Mm-hmm.
And just any kind of exchange of affection or love.
So suppose you have a bunch of people in your life who you would like to be more affectionate with. You'd like to hug them a little bit more, but they haven't
mm-hmm.
been to a hug workshop. So they're not ready to do the love jousting yet.
Oh, yes. Well, love jousting is for the pros.
Yeah.
I got to say, that's for further on down the line. At
yeah.
first, again, you have to feel each other out mm-hmm. in these things. So even though I may have a tendency to, you know, give a full-bodied, full-hearted, open-hearted, semi-bear hug, I don't do that. I mean, I don't just jump in on people. Again, you have to feel it out, and different people are ready for different levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one should, again, much of our emphasis is on being sensitive and open and, you know, to the energies and feeling what's going on so that, again, it's appropriate and people only get what they're ready for.
Yeah, so you're not scaring somebody off
exactly,
or even damaging
exactly.
them by being too aggressive, yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I wish everybody could jump in, and actually I think that's why you don't hear more about essence twins and these types of relationships that I have, is that It is strong enough, and when one finds one's mind blown and one's individuality, you know, not there, a lot of people panic. They jump back. They don't jump in.
Right. It can be very invasive, very different, kind of a little crossing the boundary at first, maybe.
Exactly. Exactly. Although it's interesting. On a spiritual level, when I started giving hug workshops, I had started wondering and worrying a little bit about, okay, where's the line between, you know, just unconditional love and sexuality, or what people would be, you know, uncomfortable with, you know, are there any of these, you know, appropriate borders, et cetera? And I asked Spirit, you know, because I was kind of, you know, again, didn't want to do anything inappropriate. But I got to say, the answer from Spirit was extremely clear. And it was basically that if it involved any kind of love, they were for it. Sexual, non-sexual, agape, hetero, homo, whatever, if it involved love, Spirit is for it. And not only are they for it, but they were very clear that any kind of limitations that we put on it came from us, not from Spirit. It came from us or our organized religions. But as far as Spirit is concerned, the more the merrier. So I really do think that that is the way that it is, and that the limitations are again, from us. We can blame it on Spirit or kind of say, oh, Spirit wouldn't like that. No, if it involves love of any sort, it's good.
And the idea with the hugging is unconditional love.
Exactly. Unconditional love. And again, exactly. Is feeling these things out as one goes along and only doing what feels right and appropriate.
Have you ever worked with people who have had really challenging lives, challenging backgrounds? I'm thinking, especially in the recovery community, you know, by the time people stop using their substance of choice, they've really kind of been through the ringer. You know, they have a lot of broken relationships. They generally do not feel loved. They've got a lot of shame over things that they've done in the past to get their drug, to, you know, to keep that going. Have you ever worked with people that are coming into it from that kind of brokenness?
Yes. And we pick up on it. And again, particularly those of us who are practicing hug psychometry, we definitely get that. And again, tend to back off and try to be reassuring. And again, the two things that you're usually dealing with are love and fear. And fear, you know, where fear is, love, it's hard to have the love be there.
Yeah.
One has to deal with the fear and kind of learn to be open and lower one's barriers and be open to love and acceptance and pleasure and things like that to, you know, certainly get the full benefit. But we definitely can, you know, again, we have patience. And you tend not to push, but again, try to have the person relax, overcome the fears, and again, hopefully experience the opposite of that, the love.
Yeah. What's the fear of? What have you found?
I would say, well, fear is usually where love is concerned, it's fear of being rejected or being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think there is also that where you get into the kind of hugs that I'm talking about, where you lose track of your individuality, again, that can cause a certain amount of fear and panic, too, if one hasn't experienced the pleasure of that.
So maybe fear of losing yourself, fear of...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Fear of losing oneself, one's center, one's individuality.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say, for me, it was kind of like the end of the ego as we know it, but I feel great.
How long have you been hugging?
As a path, I would say since meeting her in 86, but again, I really have always had an affinity for hugging from childhood.
Yeah.
I've always felt I'm a touchy-feely person. I'm a huggy person. Always was a huggy person. And again, my essence twin was also a huggy person and known for their hugs. So, you know, when we got together, we jumped in instead of jumping back.
Mm-hmm.
And had a wonderful 28 years together this life in the most kind of unconditional friendship, male-female, non-sexual friendship that you could imagine.
Mm-hmm. But you hug other people too, though.
Oh, absolutely. I move in hugging circles, and mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, we move in some mutual hugging circles. I moved from Mount Eden to now, I would say, the Circle of Miracles is part of my hugging group. Greg Campisi's people are part of my hugging group.
Mm-hmm.
Simona Menenti, gave a hug workshop recently at Pebble Hill. But those are, I guess, hugging communities.
Mm-hmm.
They're loving communities that include hugging and that I have definitely gravitated towards and have become, sort of the hugging guy, if not the hugging guru.
Yep. I recall a few months ago, maybe 6 or 8 months ago now, was there a group that was doing ambush hugs in Doylestown?
Oh, yes. Well, I move with Edie Weinstein,
yep.
who was certainly the local hug mistress, before I arrived on the scene. And she knew my essence twin. And it was interesting. I had felt in recent years that it was time for me to start doing teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not know which of my interests that I wanted to particularly share. But it was interesting in that after my essence twin passed, I was discussing the relationship with someone at Pebble Hill. And when they were listening to me discuss the relationship, they said, "Ooh, could you talk about that relationship? Speak on that at Pebble?" And I said, all of a sudden, it kind of was, oh, I've got some unique stuff with this hugging going on. And the relationship that we had, a lot of people don't know that they have, that everyone in the Michael material, according to Michael Material, everyone has an essence twin.
Mm-hmm.
And, to share kind of the experience that we had and wanting to do a hug workshop. So actually, Edie Weinstein would give, at the last event up at Mount Eden, Edie gave a hug workshop. So when I decided I was going to start discussing our relationship and using that as a model, I hooked up with Edie, and she actually gave the first hugging workshop with me at Pebble. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. Greg Campisi was there with his lady Susan, and they loved the workshop so much that he wanted to give a hugging workshop with me at his next expo. And so we did it. And then, you know, I did it again at his most recent expo on my own. Mm-hmm. And every one of them has, you know, been amazing, and everyone has had wonderful things to say, and, you know, we're totally blissed out by the end of the process.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that after taking the workshop, people are a little more open to hugging the folks in their lives?
So.
Does it sort of open up some channels in them?
Yes, I think it does. Again, any kind of really positive, reinforcing experience that one has like that is going to, you know, have one be more open to that kind of experience in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So it just gets better. The more layers of yourself that you're able to lose and be open to the energy exchange of hugging, the more blissful it gets. It's a blissful job, but somebody's got to do it. So I'm stepping forward.
Yep. Tom, that's excellent. Anything else that that new huggers or intermediate huggers should know? If you want to start hugging but can't get into one of your workshops, what should you do?
Okay, what I would suggest is, again, just I would seek out groups that, you know, have hugging as a part of it. You know, places like Circle of Miracles or the various recovery groups or Pebble Hill or, you know, again, seek out people like Edie Weinstein and myself, because we are giving these kind of things. Edie Weinstein's having a cuddle party coming up this month that I'll probably be going to. And we'll probably even end up doing workshops like that myself, too. It really is, my path is all about love. I think that's really what the whole spiritual path is about, is my ambition is to be unconditional love incarnate.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason we come to Earth in the first place is to learn to give and receive unconditional love under very difficult circumstances, Earth being the very difficult circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Earth is a tough school.
Yeah,
if you make it through here and graduate, it's like being, you know, telling somebody you went through Navy SEAL training. They know you've been through something. If you've been through Earth and graduate and can produce unconditional love under unloving circumstances, you can handle yourself. And that's why people in recovery should be easy on themselves too. This is a tough school. Everything eats everything on this planet. It wasn't meant to be easy. But at the core of it, for those of you who are on a spiritual path and are practicing mystics like me, if you take the venture inwards and you arrive finally at the place that the Jews call the secret place of the Most High, it's a sign of unconditional love. It's love.
Mm-hmm. which you can have for anyone.
In your essence, that's who you are. And I'm actually trying to give people permission to be who they really are.
Right, so that's really the core of it, connecting
exactly.
with that love.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's who you are, and if you're interested in more, come visit my Facebook page, Tom Osher, that's O-S-H-E-R. I also have one called Ascension Through Agape. And that really is about, again, the path towards ascension and love being, unconditional love being the core of how you get there and what we're supposed to be about and where this whole, where the whole earth plane is going.
Yep, and we will put those links up so that our listeners can find you. Tom, thank you so much for coming on Recovery Radio and talking about hugging.
My pleasure. It's always a pleasure talking to you, Allison, and I look forward to seeing you in the future as, again, we move in mutual circles, and I look forward to giving you a nice hug when I see you next.
I can't wait. This is City of Angels Recovery Radio. Good night.
Take care.